Yeah, I'll give you credit, Barry. You were the first of the three of us. Maybe you did too, a little, Russ. It certainly wasn't me. Who started to say, you know, I feel like it's going to happen. Don't know why you're thinking that, Barry, but whatever.
So, I mean, I didn't have anything.
Your gut was telling you that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a glass half empty guy, shocking to anybody out there. And I was like, I'm not feeling this.
They're all in. These are human beings that are doing this, and they love it as much as we do. And that's what made me feel like it was coming back. Welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ. I'm so excited. Why am I excited? Because we're back. We're coming back. We're all coming back to the farm in June.
Remind me to come back to my annoyingness on the we're so back thing, or I can do it now too. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'll jump right off. Sorry to anybody, because a few people on Twitter were upset with me. This is a Brad Parker thing. He did it a ton, and then a bunch of people did things last year when the 2025 lineup was announced, and we were all over the moon excited. And it was, we are so back. And it was just, we are so back, we're so back. And it kept going and going. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then we weren't back at all. So it's a little annoying. And so can we get rid of the we're so back thing? And
I didn't even mean to lead you into that, but I'm so sad I did.
That's so funny.
I forgot to write it down. You reminded me.
Oh, I feel so bad. That's what happens when you do things like that.
That happened on Reddit again recently. Somebody just posted, we're so back. And it just kept going, we're back. And then eventually everybody's like, what are you talking about? What is happening?
Oh, well, that was because they weren't sure about the news. Yeah. I was just like, can we retire? We're so back. Sorry, Barry. I didn't mean to ambush the beginning of the show.
No, I didn't mean to do that. I really, when we started, when 3-2-1, I was like, I didn't mean to do that.
But I didn't. We're good. We're good. How is everybody?
I'm good. How are you guys? You have had a wonderful weekend. I'm excited. I'm excited because Bonnaroo is going to be back on the farm in June in 2026.
Yeah, and it's the weirdest way they've gone about doing it, from so many news drops and so much that read like, oh, God, well, it's probably, I don't know. All of a sudden, it's just like people within the organization that you guys know well from all the shows and all over social media are just like, yeah, we're going to be back for sure.
We're back.
Is there an announcement? No, but we are.
There's no announcement yet. There may be by the time this episode releases. We don't know.
Yeah.
But
there's some legalities here for sure.
Yeah, but a release is imminent. There's an official thing coming out soon. But yeah, basically Corey on one of the Discords, I believe Festiverse, just
Corey
threw
Smith,
it out there. Corey
who is
Smith.
The marketing director.
Yeah,
who is
we
a
had
friend
him on
of
the show. Friend of the show. He just said, you might want to pencil in June 11th through 14th for next year.
Yeah, that's not being vague. I mean, that's just saying exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't need the Sunny in Philadelphia thing to put it all together. Corey, you just told us.
Pencil it in.
Yeah, and I don't want to play I know something you don't, but I've had enough conversations that are close enough to this is this is not speculative. This is happening.
This lines up exactly with what we've been hearing. Yeah.
And it's very exciting, and I'll let people get away with we're so back today, because we are, and we're very happy. Look at me. Thank you, Brian. 3 weeks ago, and look at me now.
It's funny you say I know something you don't. That's funny. Yeah, we do know. It's coming back. But yeah, 3 weeks ago, it was doom and gloom.
Yeah, I'll give you credit, Barry. You were the first of the three of us. Maybe you did too, a little, Russ. It certainly wasn't me. Who started to say, you know, I feel like it's going to happen. I think you said it on the show. I'm almost positive you did.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, don't know why you're thinking that, Barry, but whatever.
So, I mean, I didn't have anything.
Your gut was telling you that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a glass half empty guy, shocking to anybody out there. And I was like, I'm not feeling this.
You know,
I started to come around, though.
You know what the tipping thing for me was when, and it wasn't me, somebody pointed out that Live Nation survived COVID and a hurricane. And who else can survive that?
The answer is basically nobody.
Nobody. So, and I mean, they're invested. That and I want to say this. I think I said on the show 2 weeks ago, let me think how I phrased it. The people that are Live Nation, the people that are C3 are Corey and Brad. And I think I said Ken Weinstein. Ken is not part of C3 or Live Nation. He owns Big Hassle. But he's one of the original people.
Yeah. He's an OG from day one.
Yeah, I want to make that clarification just for him. It doesn't mean anything to anybody but him. But they're all in. These are human beings that are doing this, and they love it as much as we do. And that's what made me feel like it was coming back, because they love it as much as we do. So
yeah, I'm just glad they didn't mess with the dates or the location. That was the only thing. It's got to be June.
I don't think that was ever reality. Do you?
I don't either. I don't either. You know, but once they listen
put it on the survey.
Yeah, but once they listened to this show, they knew good and well, that we're not messing with this.
Yeah, no.
I'm only sort of kidding. So, no, I'm very excited about it. You know, June is June, the farm, Bonnaroo. That's what it is. And the reason I started to come around, Barry, as I just spent countless time analyzing throughout the weeks, the post weeks of. You know, our horrible weekend, well, our pretty good weekend, but a horrible weekend for most people was that it's just too much infrastructure. It's just too much investment to just be like, this is the one. Their insurance is covering, it would appear, I do not know, and this is not talk to anybody, but their insurance appears to be very, very solid. That, you know, wonder about the policies going forward, but I'm going to give you an example as to why one of these that is anecdotal that might not have anything to do with anything. I bought, and people are telling me this was me giving bad luck, bad juju to the festival. I bought what I wanted from the merch tent a week before Bonnaroo because I was afraid I'd forget. I always do. And last year I begged for you listeners to send me a shirt I couldn't get, and it never happened because these don't exist. They're so limited runs.
Oh yeah, you wanted that. I know the shirt.
The soccer
wanted.
Shirt so with like cool. With the rainbow. Yeah, and so, cool. So the shirt that was on that I wanted this year, I was like, I'm just gonna buy it now. A month later, I still don't have it, and it's through the Shop app. Is there third party invoicing and tracking? Shop app sucks. Bonnaroo, use a different one. Anywho. I can't figure out what happened to my package. I got charged an hour ago, a month ago, and it was over $100. I'm not in a business economically to throw $100 away and just not worry about it. And so I didn't know what to do. I thought maybe it got lost in the mail, but I couldn't find out. I eventually emailed and just said, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to go through my billing company, and I'm going to, which is Amex, and I'm going to dispute the charge, which usually takes... I've done it before. I've been on Amex for 20 years. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, minimum. I put in a dispute of the charge. An hour later, it says, you've been refunded. Meaning to me, Bonnaroo just has it set up. If you want refunds, bing, 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 they're coming right back to you.
Yeah.
Because we're refunding anything and everything at this point because it's probably falling under that inch. They're getting their insurance claims put together. So if you're having any shipping issues, which I have read on Reddit that some have, you can go that option. I don't suggest you do it if you think you're actually getting your product. But anyway, I think things are working out very, very nicely. And insurance.
I've seen some of that. And some of that, I'm like, guys, reach out to Bonnaroo themselves. Don't try to do your business through Reddit. Reach out to them. I mean, you know. I sound like a corporate shill there.
A little, and I did reach out to Bonnaroo through their, and this is just through the merch section of the website. This ain't C3, you know, this isn't some, you know, the people we know within this ecosystem. And I didn't get a quick response, and they don't have an AI version that answers questions with like invoice numbers and stuff. either all the way around, it was settled very, very well, very satisfyingly, and very quickly. And then I bought the shirt again. So send it this time, please.
And I do want to say, again, if you had a horrible experience, you had a horrible experience. And I get it. And yeah. I don't blame you. And I'm sorry. I keep hearing about, you know, people flew across the country and didn't ever get in and parked in the gas station across the street. Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't even. I'm so sorry.
I mean, our buddy Kyle that we just saw this past weekend, you know, he didn't have a great experience getting out, and he's on the fence whether he's going back to Bonnaroo next year or not. You know, he says, maybe I'll check out another festival. It's totally valid if you're thinking that, you know, maybe it's time to check something else out or, you know, change your plans a little bit. That's fine. Hopefully he's been gone 9 years. Hopefully he comes back. But
yeah,
you know.
I think I have a feeling EDM sure Kyle will. I don't know him well, but I have a feeling you will be there. You can't help yourself, Kyle. Yeah. I know it.
Can we jump in? You want to jump in right there?
Yeah, let's talk about the weekend.
I'm done with the other. That's all the news that we have about Bonnaroo is that it's apparently in June next year, and we will be there, and we can't wait. And if you're listening to this, hoping for more news, we will have more news. We will have Brad and Corey. We will have whoever else you want as guests, and they will answer every question that we can think of.
Yeah, looking forward to it. They might be, you know, they're still waiting on Live Nation to give green lights on a lot of these things. But it'll be coming up soon.
I think, Russ, you said it before we started recording. They are dying to come on.
Oh, they are, yeah.
And
we've heard as much from them that they are ready to come on and talk about this. We just got to wait for everything to line up, and it'll happen.
Yeah, there's corporate things to happen, but they can't wait to come on and talk about it, and we will have all of the questions that you guys have.
Maybe we'll do another live show. Maybe we'll do some kind of Q&A.
Yeah. We haven't talked about that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out as we go. Coming up today, we got Common John stuff that Taco and Evan Bonnaroo and others have done. Looking forward to that. Leftover from our the little bit of Bonnaroo we all got to experience. And I've got a question for Barry involving British rock bands. One now and one from a long time ago. We'll get to that before we wrap up the segment. But Taco, last year, it was the time that it was Woodstock 25-year anniversary of Woodstock 99. And we were going to do a show on that. But at that same weekend, you were up on a bluff on Lookout Mountain here in Georgia side of things. And you had some pictures of these planes coming in, and it was just kind of like, you were like, yeah, there's some like planes or something. Yeah. And we saw the pictures, like, yeah. The video, like, what the hell?
This Brian is so and I cool. were like, what the hell? What the living?
And so. Yeah.
Russ is like, oh, by the way, here's what I did today.
Anyway, so this is now something you're doing on an annual basis, and I actually did leave my house for once. I finally showed up, but tell us about it real quick, what it is again and who
does it. Well, we got to rewind a couple weeks because we've been off for 2 weeks. Last weekend, July 4th, I was out too. We went to Lindsay's, the other farm, as we've called it. It's where we've hosted
the Mini Roo in 21.
The Mini Roos.
Other with a capital O, as in like the other. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Yeah. Because they've got the other stage. This is the other farm. So we just did a big July 4th weekend at Lindsay's. Several other Bonnaroovians were there, and we just had a great time there. No planes there, but we just, you know, shut off some fireworks, had some bonfires, sat in the creek. You know,
Brian, I highly recommend you make that trip. It's awesome.
I've heard about it. Sounds good.
You gotta go.
Absolutely gorgeous. Great weekend.
All right, so that was the previous weekend. This weekend that we just got back from. Yes, we went up to Lookout Mountain. My buddy Adam has had this property, his family, for generations. I don't even know how long. It's about 300 acres, and I haven't seen half of it. I mean, it's just all woods. There's all kinds of trails, RV trails, or, you know, ATV trails, bike trails. There's a pond. There's a creek. I mean, there's just, and it's on the bluff of a mountain, just on the side. You can look out, literally, on Lookout Mountain. just down below at, you know, what's down there?
Chattanooga Valley.
Chattanooga Valley, yeah. And it's beautiful. And yeah, there's a clearing on the bluff that they use as an airstrip.
It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen in my life.
They fly these terrifyingly dangerous single-layer
biplanes.
They're dangerous to me.
Yeah, we're talking, very mechanical. These are not jet engines.
Biplanes.
Basically, single passenger, maybe two, depending on weight. Yeah. But very tiny planes. They just
like
fly
if the
in.
Oil goes bad, you might go down.
Yeah, yeah.
or if Barry leans too far to the left.
Right. Suddenly you're banking and and we had about, what'd you say, Brian, 5 or 6 planes that came in?
Well, I got there late and I thought they had already arrived and I luckily got to see them take off.
You got to see them take off. Yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted to see that. It was real. I did the, I'll try to do the Wayne's World thing, stand under a rock and be like, hey, it's going over my head. I mean, it was wild. I thought it was so cool.
And a helicopter landed, too. I had never seen a helicopter do that.
Yeah, it was just parked when I got there,
Yeah. Well, it got there by landing. It didn't just park there.
I just meant I didn't see it do its thing. You
didn't, Russ with the obvious.
But that wasn't all. We had fireworks. We had
a couple
big
local
dinner.
Bands.
Couple local bands. We had, we had music. Oh gosh, what was her name? The first artist
Amber
that played
Foltz.
There.
Wasn't Amber?
No, it was Emerald.
Fiddler. Emerald
Butler. Emerald Butler.
That's it.
Butler.
Yeah.
Emerald
her social media handle is Emerald. Emerald Fiddler. But it's
she's
Emerald
great.
Butler.
Yeah, she's a fiddler, local fiddler.
Oh, she was great. Yeah, she started kind of midday, did a few covers and some songs there. Then at the not at the stage area, but at the cabin, there was another band that we saw. I'm trying to remember what they were called, but they were from Stevenson, Alabama, and they did a bunch of covers, too. A
bunch of Skynyrd and Allman Brothers
They were doing some Allman, some Skynyrd. They were cool. And then I guess the headliner, so to speak, was Planet, buddies of yours, Brian, that's another local band.
Been playing for 20-plus years around here, and they rock. And when I saw that, I thought this thing was more of a picking and grinning kind of thing, like, you know, front porch picking thing. I was like, Planet, man, they're loud. They play rock music, like loud rock music. But you said it went over well.
Went over great. Yeah, they played some original songs. They've put out several albums. They did a lot of covers. They did some 311, Metallica. Oh, who else? They covered the Cars. They span several generations of music. Radiohead. I thought they were quite good.
That strip, that just flat landing strip, I mean, I don't know that's if they graded. I don't know if they graded it one day to make it that way or if that's just
I don't know. I really don't.
God or whoever made it, but it is perfect. And if it's not for planes and the kids are all riding their little
there's kids on four-wheelers, there's golf carts, motorcycles, two-wheelers, everything.
And of course, rattlesnakes. Rattlesnake. Have you heard about this?
Oh yeah.
Okay. You should have told me.
Sorry. Yeah, there was every now and then there's a rattlesnake that appears on the cliffs, and they'll go out and just shoot it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
As one does.
Everybody, take a step back, real quick. So I go out to this exact spot he's talking about, the furthest point of the cliff. That's not too far. It's not like drop straight down, but it's still fall and you're in big trouble kind of thing. But it's a big enough rock, and I'm feeling fine enough about it, and I wanted to get the exact overhead. And there's a guy, Benjamin, I think his name is. Maybe no, maybe don't. And he was like, hey, man. I was like, is it fine? Am I good here? And he's like, yeah, totally, man, totally, blah, 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 this, kind of shouting across. He's like, just, you know, if you hear those, that watch out for those rattling. Yeah. Some rattling. I'm like, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Rattling. So at first I'm thinking, and the plane flies ahead. It might be loud or something. Because we're talking from 25 feet away. Oh, no. Come again with the rattle thing? What are you talking about? It's like, oh, yeah, rattlesnakes, man. They're everywhere. I'm just like, holy shit. What do you mean? And he goes, oh, yeah, there's one right over there. We just shot his head off earlier.
Yep.
And I said, what are you talking about? We walk over here. This thing looks like a python. It is huge.
It was huge, yeah.
Dead on the rocks with his head shot off, mm-hmm. which is fine. Yeah. Kill the damn thing. I don't care. I was, give me the shot of the plane. Get me off this bluff.
See, the point of all this to me is two things. One, what a cool event. But Taco, I don't know what world you live in. You surprise me every day. Every day. I don't even know who the people you hang out with
are. About the rattlesnakes up there is all I'll tell you.
Yeah,
stay away from the bluff. I'm told you're just fine. You go to that
Russ,
bluff.
Russ, the one who never speaks. You know, everybody's like, why didn't Russ talk anymore? I'm like, well, he's...
He's organizing these big events all over the Southeast.
Yeah. Well, I didn't organize this. This is these are just Volkswagen people. That's how I got involved.
Yeah. Well, close enough.
Adam's been, you know, I've known him through Volkswagens.
I met Adam. I like those Blade sunglasses he wears, too. Old school Blades.
Interesting.
All I know,
I've known
people,
him.
If you're, I don't know what universe you're living in, this is the coolest thing. I mean, it's like James Bond.
Well, let me, sorry, I was trying to finish. I've known Adam, I don't know, 20-something years. One day he's like, hey, come up to my birthday next weekend. Here's the address. It's on the bluff on Lookout Mountain. We'll, you know, bring the bus. We'll have a good time. I'm thinking, okay, we'll just go and camp out. I get up there and, like you said, it's
planes
on this. It's amazing. Planes are flying. That was actually, I've heard there was planes. I'd never seen one fly in until last year. The first time I finally got to see one fly in. So,
you dropped that on us last year. You're like, oh, here's what I did yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. That was the first time I'd actually seen a plane fly in. Yeah.
It's really cool.
This is probably my eighth or ninth year going to this thing. And so, as long as they keep having it, we'll be there.
And EDM Kyle was there.
He was there. Yeah, so there's probably, I don't know, 100 people or so that are there just to camp. And we're all along in the tree lines on either side of this airstrip, basically. And we've got to get as far over as we can to make enough room for all these planes to come in.
It's like lining up to watch a parade. Almost.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
leave the middle. Get out of the middle part. Here comes the parade, except it's a plane.
Yeah, so Kyle was there in his van again. I was there in my bus. And then most everyone else just has tents or pull-behind campers or, you know, RVs or whatever, you know, rooftop tents. But
25 minutes from my house, I was there for the afternoon and back in no time. I enjoyed it.
Short drive.
That's awesome.
Pretty good group of people.
Awesome.
All right, one last thing here before we get to the Common John stuff, unless something pops into y'all's heads. Barry, you're a Beatles guy.
Yes, I am.
All the old jokes that I hate the Beatles, you know by this point that those are not true, but I don't share the fandom. But I do love, but really liked, I'll say love more now, the band Oasis. And I did more in the 90s and mostly into the mid-2000s. And this reunion tour is taking over social media algorithms that you I mean, you're not immersed in that, like good for you, like a lot of us dummies. It is consuming me. These shows that are taking place in the UK right now, of course, they're rabid there. They look like some of the most amazing rock concerts I've ever seen. And they're playing 5-7 dates, whatever it is, in football stadiums here in America, which led me to think, I don't even want to get tickets to this stuff. I don't want to be in a football stadium. Now I don't know what to do with myself. I got our buddy Brad, who I said I'd never say his name again, Brad Steiner, New York. He's working on me, getting a single to the East Rutherford, New Jersey show. And I can't believe how immersed I am in this. Your opinion, your thoughts, you can start from the 90s and maybe it's changed. Oasis versus the Beatles, or the way that they conducted themselves, comparing themselves to the Beatles, or any of those kinds of things, your thoughts.
Oh, good Lord. It's not even close, Brian.
I don't mean that you think that they're on par with what they do, but I just mean your opinion of like, do you think you hate them because of this, or you don't think it's good at all?
No.
It's also not your era or your generation of music either.
God, that's a loaded question. I would almost go back to the to Pearl Jam. I mean, your obsession with Pearl Jam is close to mine with the Beatles.
Favorite, most important, yeah.
And I don't understand it because, I mean, I was having babies during Pearl Jam.
We've talked about this at Bonnaroo when you told me you didn't like Pearl Jam, and I was like...
No, I don't dislike them.
Not you don't like them, but the Nirvana, Pearl Jam, the movement, you didn't do anything for it.
Get it. I mean, I'm so old.
I just thought you were younger. I don't know. I was like, I thought you were
so,
younger.
So, I mean, like, R.E.M. had this same vibe. Everybody was convinced R.E.M. was the next Beatles. And then it was Pearl Jam and Nirvana. And then it was Pearl Jam. And now then it was Oasis. Believe it or not.
Oasis self-proclaimed that. Oasis said that.
That's the difference, right?
Here's the thing. When you're 12, 13, 14, 15 years old and this is your band... They're the greatest band in the entire history of the
universe. What happened 25 years before doesn't matter.
That's correct. And it doesn't matter. And I don't mean to diminish that. What's interesting, I ended up watching an interview with Rick Beato with Jimmy Webb on YouTube. And again, the Beatles came up. And he kept talking about Burt Bacharach and the Beatles and... Beethoven and the history of music. They don't mention Oasis in those kinds of conversations ever.
No, they don't.
And so, I mean, you and I both know people who are like, oh, the Beatles are overrated. They hate them. And I'm like, oh, it's funny. Good for you. You know, whatever.
You're different.
But my argument is your favorite band loves the Beatles. And I don't care who you are. Your favorite band loves the Beatles.
Fair. Yeah, and I wasn't trying to mean I want you to compare. Do you think Oasis was transitional into popular music? No, of course they weren't. They just rode a ride of American and more so
British
rock and roll at the time. Very simplistic rock and roll. The Tom Petty style of songwriting is more about melodic to the same five chords.
Yep.
No, they're not reinventing music. They're not reinventing styles of music. But the fandom across the globe
100%
insane. And it won't be that way here. There'll be a little bit of it because everybody's copycats of stuff.
I get it. And
fanaticism is driving me wild. I have to see this show.
Yeah, I get it. When I see them, I think of the Kinks. I think of Ray and Dave Davies. That's a much underrated band. The Kinks are so underrated. And they would have been huge had they not been banned from coming to the United States because, one of them got busted? I don't remember
the trajectory of
but
all
they're
of them.
But they're so either, good. Yeah. They're so good. And they used to fight on stage just like...
I guess my better question I should have asked it just more clearly from the jump was, do you hate the Oasis because of the way they've conducted themselves personally for most of their lives?
No.
Because it's easy to do that. And it's, unfair.
So here's the better question that I don't have an answer for. Why do I not like the Rolling Stones? It's because of the Beatles. It's because you had to pick.
That rivalry.
When I was a kid, you had to pick. And
that's
the Rolling Stones are great, but they're not the Beatles.
I get that. To put in another generation and era, why do I not like the band Fish? Well, because it's Fish and Panic, and I picked Panic 25 years ago.
Right.
And
isn't
that funny? It's not that I don't like Fish. It's just that I guess I don't like
it. I mean, I just this morning put Ruby Tuesday came up on a TV show I was watching, and I was like, all of a sudden hit, cancel and blared it from the stereo. I like the Rolling Stones, but they're not the Beatles. So, no, I don't dislike, but I did do this, and I will admit it. I'm that guy who my high school years hated whatever band was popular.
Well, yeah.
That's every... Yeah, that was me too.
I hated AC/DC.
Excessively, yes. To a
because
stupid
it was
degree.
Popular. Yeah. I can't stand, I still don't like the Arena Rockers, the Bon Jovis and the whatever. But yeah. I couldn't stand AC/DC because all the, you know, the kids liked it in my classmates. They great. I love AC/DC.
This is the problem for people who think they can outthink every room they're in. I think right. That's all of us at times. Yeah, I just say, oh, you like that? It sucks.
Yeah, I was into the Dead Kennedys and the, you know, whatever.
Right. Same for me. I hated Korn because I hated the kids that wore the Korn shirts in school, you know?
Oh, my God. Korn is... They rock so hard. I didn't like Korn either because of the JNCOs and the people I didn't like that liked that stuff.
But they put on one of the best tent shows at Bonnaroo last year, you know?
One of my favorite.
Yeah. Now I'm all in. Now I'm trying to absorb it all. I mean, even disco, you know, even whatever. Now it's just like, okay, well, see, I get it.
You weren't supposed to like disco. That was like anti what you would have
right.
been into.
Oh, 100%, man. Like I said, I'm into Dead Kennedys. I mean, like too drunk to fuck, you know? I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, so.
All right.
It's an interesting question.
It's Labor Day weekend. I will quit my job. I will go homeless. I'll lose the house. I'll do whatever it takes. I've got to see this Oasis show in New York.
Yeah. No, I get it. And again, it's an age thing. I liked them. I like them. They just didn't, you know, like Pearl Jam. That wasn't my vibe. I was raising babies.
Well, the final point that I already made a little bit, though, is that the hype machine and the social media platforms and the way these videos are being put together and packaged out there, this has got to be blowing the minds of every record exec, even the band themselves, that the whole globe is, or much of the globe of certain age people, middle-aged, 40-ish people, acting like this is the greatest band ever. And they're not. They're not even sort of the greatest band ever, but there's this nostalgia that's taking over that I find fascinating, and it's sucked me in completely.
I'll give you three words. Bay City Rollers. They were the next Beatles. They were massive. You don't even know who they are.
I'm about to say, it sounds like the band in Say by the Bell.
Bay City Rollers. S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
That was Bayside.
They were supposed to be the next
Bayside High
Beatles.
School. Yeah, but,
like, but the band. Zach Attack was the band.
Zach Attack was the band name, yeah.
I'll give you the batters. R.E.M., when I was a freshman in college, was the big, they were Oasis.
I remember this, yeah.
They were massive.
And they were difficult people.
Well, yeah, because he mumbled, you know, that was a funny thing, was Murmur. Murmur, you know, the album Murmur was Mumble. Recalled Mumble.
Stipe never got over being the way he is.
Anyway, nobody talks about them anymore. You don't even remember R.E.M., but they were supposed to be the.
I'm a big R.E.M.
I love R.E.M. You could not escape R.E.M. They were playing on every radio station,
they were massive.
No matter what. Yeah.
They were massive. They were the next Beatles. Yeah. And they were number one, you know, on the, like, the Rolling Stone best bands ever, number one. Now I don't even think they cracked 75.
No, and I wonder, actually, somebody was talking about this on some other algorithm of mine, what American band could do a big reunion that might hit as hard as Oasis is over there?
It's got to be R.E.M.
Could R.E.M. do that? They could spark enough.
Well, they were just on with somebody.
Stipe has said, we are not doing reunion tours. He said that for about 15 years now, but he's also, you know, Stipe, so
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, he is his own. He's an artist.
I love him, and I'll make fun of the guy all day long.
Absolutely. I love the long sleeves. Yeah, whatever.
You want to hear good songs? Not tonight.
All right, so we're going to leave you guys today with a couple of interviews that Russ did in advance. Actually, Russ, you did these shows, what, before Bonnaroo even happened, really? You were
not
up
me.
There
it was
early.
Me and Evan Bonnaroo. We did these interviews.
You and Evan Bonnaroo did these Monday, or were they both Tuesday and then Wednesday?
No, there was a Monday interview and a Tuesday interview because I went into Manchester on Monday. Went to Common John, and ended up talking with Bull, who is their I think their marketing and social media, but he's been with the company forever. He talked at length about the history of Common John is very much intertwined with Bonnaroo. I mean, it's basically he'll tell the story, but so he gets into that. And then Tuesday, you know, I slept in the parking lot at Common John, woke up the next morning, and then we did this interview with LeBron, who was their head brewer, and Derek, who does their art for their cans. And they talked about specifically this collaboration with Camp Redaroo this year. The Nuclear Fusion was what it was called. It was a beer that they was inspired with King Gizzard. And, of course, you know, all of this was long before we knew that Bonnaroo was going to get canceled. So there's a lot of excitement for this year and stuff like that in this interview, which you'll hear. But I still think it turned out great. So that's what we got. And then also, you know, we were off last week. If you missed it, we ran the live podcast that we did at Planet Roo also before it was canceled. So, you know, we're just kind of going through our catalog, I guess, of stuff we did get.
Yeah, this is what we love doing. We love going up there and doing interviews and working, as we call it, work, where we interview people that are involved in the festival. And Brian, this is what I love about this is, you know, Russ went up on Monday.
Yeah.
Monday.
And now I'm glad I did, since, you know, I basically still got a full week out of it. Yeah.
Especially
so
now.
That he could interview the guys at Common John and then sleep in the parking lot. And I don't know why that's funny.
No. Let me this was all Evan's idea, was to do the interview. I was just gonna go to Common John and drink beer. That was all my plan. But Evan was coming into town too, and he hit me up and he was like, "Hey, what if we talk to Common John?" And I thought it was a great idea, and so he kind of was instrumental in getting this set up, and it went really well. And yeah. So thanks to Evan, appreciate him for basically being a correspondent on this season, I guess, because he's helped us out so much.
You know, and I was trying to make light of it, and I shouldn't, but this is exactly the kind of thing that is so great about this show and this mm-hmm. festival, is a guy like Evan, you know. Comes down New York, right?
New Jersey.
Yeah. Comes down to hang out with you. He knows people at Common John, hang out.
Mm-hmm.
You guys do this. You do these amazing interviews. The Common John people are the ones that created the beer, the cans that we've highlighted the last couple of years that are so cool. I've tried to explain Bonnaroo and why it means so much and why we care. This is the kind of thing. I mean,
this is it.
This is why. It's not just because we got to go see a band that we care about. I mean,
I agree. Yeah.
It's because of this extra level stuff that happens surrounding it. And I don't mean to make light, Russ, that you sleeping in a parking lot, because you would do that. But it's funny. It's funny anyway, to me. Yeah. But you did it because they were glad you were there, and you got to hang out with the guys who make the beer, and did yes. two interviews. And that we're getting ready to share those, and that will illustrate how much those people care, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
very much, yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool. All right. Anything else? We're going to share both of these back to back, right? Who are we talking to?
First up is Bull, who does their marketing. I don't know his government name, but that's what he said he went by. So
good enough for me.
Good enough, yeah. And we did this interview in the back where they actually brew the beer. So we're between two tanks, is what Evan, you know, was kind of calling this one, because we were right there in between where they brew it. And then the second interview is with LeBron, who is their brewer, and Derek, who does the artwork on the cans. So, you know, they came up with this beer, this collaboration, this concept, and they threw it together.
Here we go.
Well, cool. Let's do it.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we're sitting here at Common John Brewery with Bull.
Bull, yeah. Good to meet you. Also known as John?
Yeah, no, yeah, but only my parole officer. He knows that.
Okay,
that's
all
it.
Right.
That's it.
We won't, yeah.
You're not the John, though, right?
No.
Common John.
No, John, it's everybody. You know, Common John, it's everybody. It's a whole gamut. Then we're all John.
Nice. So I've always said, you know, Bonnaroo, we love the music, but to me, the real headliner is the beer. And
unless it was a year with Pabst. Oh, my bad. You're wearing the hat.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry.
A little too close to home.
A little close
too
to
soon.
Home.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, but we're here where the beer is made. Look at all these tanks.
Doesn't get any more local than this.
This is super local, yeah. So
it's still my favorite line in all whenever people walk in and go like, I only drink domestic. Do you have something domestic? I'm like, they don't get any more domestic than this right
yeah,
here.
That's true, yeah.
Between two tanks.
Welcome to Between Two Tanks. Yeah.
Nice. I see what you did there. Yeah. Well done, Andy. Well done.
Yeah. So do you want to kind of take us through the history of Common John?
Where do you guys want me to start at? Like, just sort of the story,
well,
et cetera, et cetera?
In an hour and a half. So.
I sort of know the owner, so we can stay here as long as we want, you know?
Plus, oh, good.
You're sleeping in the parking lot.
Yeah, so. I was going to ask. Yeah, is it all right if I sleep in the parking lot?
We sort of got this
lot.
Thing going, you know?
Yeah, okay. So we got all night.
Yeah, well, no. So Common John, it was founded by a local family right here in Manchester. And again, local people, we're all local. The main premise of the story, LeBron Haggard, one of the owners, him and some buddies, they started getting together about 15 years ago now, in the garage at his house. His wife brought him a homebrew kit for Christmas or a birthday or something. Anyway, so some buddies just started getting together and brewing in the garage. They did that for about 7-8 odd years, started winning competitions. And then he was an engineer at Bridgestone for a while.
Okay.
And then he sort of got tired of it and decided to go on, and then his aunt, who's more like his sister, partnered up with him, and then they took it from the garage to the community. But again, family owned, operated, no big investors. It's just people risking their mortgage for a dream.
Wow. Yeah,
that's really beautiful.
Well, I mean, it depends on who you ask.
And delicious.
Yeah. So how long has this been going? How many years have you been open?
We'll celebrate our fifth year in business this year.
Okay.
Yep,
well,
5 years.
If you've made it this far, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good sign.
We've been very blessed. Well-received within the community. Mm-hmm. It being a small town, it was sort of give or a take. We still have a long road to go
sure.
in regards to educating our community that they understand a restaurant and they understand a bar.
Yeah.
A brewery that sort of fits in the middle. We still have a long way to go to educate. But again, we've been well received by a lot of people in the locals.
Right.
Being a town that has a lot of transplants. So, we've been very blessed.
Yeah. Well, I just had the wings and they were great. So, you know.
Allie and
you're killing
them,
it on the restaurant part.
Love.
Yeah.
They cook with love.
Yeah. And I hear you've got good breakfast. So.
Allie, everything around here, we try to do it to the best of our ability, you know. Because, again, I mean, we want everybody to have the best experience from the beer to the environment to the to the burrito.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the reason we're here is because you're open special for the Bonnaroo community tonight. And we know that you guys have been doing a beer for I know you did one last year.
And that
one was awesome.
A partnership, I think, with Camp Redaroo are the ones that.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And we've had Kevin Barnes on with Camp Redaroo to talk us through their side of how they got the beer started. So it's nice to be here and hear the other side of it.
Well, and again, you know, and that's sort of like that is a LeBron.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a LeBron passion thing. But yeah, this is the second year. Last year, of course, Pretty Lights, you know, was playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the beer was themed around it. I always go with that hazy IPA. It was extremely well received.
Yeah.
Very lucky there. And then the one we've got this year, the Nuclear Fusion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was more trying to say that you're really embracing kind of the Bonnaroo community because
you're
open. You're not usually open on, I mean, it's a Monday night and you're not even usually open.
Well, again, here's what's so awesome. So the story of Common John, where it got its name, right? LeBron was trying to figure out a name. And a local band won the opportunity to play at Bonnaroo. Wow. So LeBron went out there to see him while he's trying to figure out what to call the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesse and them got up with Creature Comfort on stage at Bonnaroo, one of the songs he sung was, the lyric goes, "It's been decided by the priest, I'm just a common John digging holes in the dirt." LeBron's father was an excavator. That's what he did. He pushed dirt his entire life. And LeBron had literally made the statement to his wife. He goes, "I'm done with corporate America. I'm done with Bridgestone. I just want to go home and dig holes in the dirt with my old man." So he is at Bonnaroo listening to a local band that's playing this song. Called the lawyer, said, "Is Common John available?" And so Bonnaroo plays a very special role, not just because of our love for music and meeting other people. And plus, how cool is it that 100,000 people come in our backyard once a year?
Yeah, how poetic for that to all come to come together.
Come to play at Bonnaroo.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Do you want to maybe talk about your personal history? We were off camera kind of talking about you have a history of production. You're helping us set up our gear here.
Yeah, you seem to know more about it than me, which is great. So we have an opening.
Because of our success, this place takes up majority of my time, which wasn't supposed to. The way I got in was I was lucky enough. I was in the industry for a little bit, never made it big or anything, but just very blessed to be a part because I'm from Manchester.
Okay.
And come back here. LeBron, I was putting on some little small shows, bringing in some writers from Nashville and all around and things like that. And because when you're in music, you're addicted to it.
Yes.
Once you start doing it, you can never stop.
Right. Yeah. We know. Yeah.
You guys know. Like, once you start, you're addicted to it. So anyway, I was putting on a little show and I called it Crafted because I wanted, we're in the middle of, distilleries and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that LeBron was opening a brewery. We talked and he was like, "Look, all I want is a little tap room, seats about 50 people, and I want just music in the corner on the weekend." Because I was done. I was burnt out. I didn't want to do big things anymore. And now, just last weekend, we did a festival where we had over 500 people here, and I got another one at the end of June where that, so.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on your Instagram and all that. Yeah. And you kind of help with that, too, with the marketing and the doing some of the social media.
Yeah, that's another, just sort of when you're in entertainment, you become a bit of a jack of all trades, master of none, So I'm just good enough to where people need me, but don't have to pay me a lot. You know what I'm saying?
That perfect sweet spot.
Oh, yeah.
That's
me too. I walked in at the perfect time. Yeah. Perfect time.
I think that's probably all three of us.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah. Well, I've been impressed. I mean, I've always said, because I've come to Bonnaroo, this will be, I guess, my sixth year, fifth. But other than the Walmart and the Waffle House, I've never spent any other time in Manchester. So I wanted to come early, first of all, and get some, local flavor. And, this seems like the place. It's happening here.
Well, and again, like you were talking about, 3 years ago we started opening up, because we're not open on Monday or Tuesday.
Right.
But, the Roo people started coming in. Was like, you know what? We love to meet new people. And, just it's a great opportunity for us to introduce our brand and our beer
Absolutely.
To people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so started opening up, just sort of a place for the people that come early to hang out other than the Walmart parking lot.
Yeah.
And
I've personally been here the past 3 or 4 years for Monday and Tuesday morning.
Well, and so. I mean, and what's y'all's 2 cents on, as y'all are worldly people,
Yeah, well. He is. I don't know about me, but
well, it's cool. It's cool to have a place to hang and that's welcoming because, not every place, that has 100,000, a little town having 100,000 people isn't always the most welcoming place like that. So having such a awesome embrace and you have a band playing on stage too. So you guys are at a Bonnaroo beer, so you guys are totally leaning into it.
Yeah.
Anytime you can hear WAP acoustic.
We came here at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I was impressed because we came in and it's busy, in a good way. There's people everywhere, people ordering drinks, food. You've got music. Everybody's talking, laughing, having a good time. This is a great way to come into Manchester and kick it off. Yeah.
Well, and what's fun is sort of a couple years ago, right after, the world opened back up from COVID, Mm-hmm. So everybody was excited they were coming back. Well, Rue rained out, so they shut it down because it was flooded out. So we put on this thing. I had a friend call me, and so it was me and two other a-holes. We put on this thing called the Other Fest to try to build this little refugee. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was like with Andy Frasco.
That's
and
Andy
all
Frasco and Big Something.
So
and
you were
all
the
X Factor
in that.
So that was, yeah, me.
Oh, so that was
me,
you. Yeah,
Ryan
okay.
French over. Yeah, Ryan. Yeah, I had one guy call me, and he was like, hey, look, I want to make a festival for all the people that are here for Rue that have nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, who's in it? And he was like, me and you and Josh. And I was like, all right. So let's accommodate 2,000 people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it worked out well. And from that, we decided, you know, we'd continue on doing music and hanging out.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I was here for that Andy Frasco concert. That was great.
How much time have you spent in Bonnaroo itself?
Oh, my gosh. Me, I mean, since it was Ichiku on up, you know, and again, I was very blessed. Like, I had relationships in the industry, so I got to hang out earlier. You know, it was a little bit more flexible. You know, you could be backstage and, you know, artist pass and some other stuff. But, I mean, gosh, I'll put it this way. There's not one Les Claypool show I haven't seen. If that puts it into perspective for you.
Yeah.
Right. I was there when Les got the key to the city, you know, and so that's it. And even how it's evolved, you know, it's becoming more of what, and we already know, you know, it's becoming a little bit more where their headliners are a little bit more top 40-esque and less jam band and, unique.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find so cool about that is for one weekend, what one ticket would cost you, Olivia Rodrigo, right? I'm taking my daughter to see Olivia Rodrigo Saturday.
Awesome.
It was going to cost us like $2,000 to go see her in Ohio.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For less than that, we can see her on the stage right here in my backyard. You know what I'm saying? So it's like...
It's a steal.
It's a steal.
It is.
And for what... So the changes it's going through, you know, because, again, I was here when, you know, I mean, Elton John was in Manchester, Tennessee on this stage. You know?
Paul McCartney has been
here. Right,
He's been right here, right on the other side of the interstate, you know? So we've sort of shifted that a little bit to where, you know, and like we were making jokes about Kanye earlier. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, but again, you know, it's like however it goes, you know, in regards to festivals, it's just a phenomenal weekend that we got right here in our backyard, you know?
Yeah, we agree. We were talking a little bit earlier before we hit record, and you were mentioning like Ichiku and going way back, and I was like, okay, so you get it, because yeah, this is the stuff. You know, you said Ashley Capps. We had him on early on, and that's kind of what turned the wheels for us. We're like, there's a lot of history here, and there's a lot beyond just the music, the community, stuff like this.
The passion for the local. You know, even with the whole recycle, you know, and all that movement side and all the different little facets within it, you know, and then even how the facets begin to grow. Like, we were sitting outside with a young man tonight, and he has the third largest camping group. So it's a group of 150 people that plan their entire year to come and hang out with these people. And they've got a dome planned and, you know, a bunch of stuff. I don't know.
You have two multi-hundred people groups represented.
I was
going to
say, you actually have, yeah.
Because mine is 100, going on 100.
Oh,
that's
shoot.
Another.
Which 100? Group are y'all with?
I'm with the Rue Bus.
You're with the Rue Bus.
Yeah.
Great people. I work with Ryan French and all that Rue Bus. You guys come through here 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah, great. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be in tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we might actually end up here because the opening time for Rue went from noon to 2 p.m.
Yeah, we
so
just
we might have an extra time to kill tomorrow.
Yeah.
You'll be welcome with open arms. Welcome
beautiful,
with open
yeah. And, yeah, I was just talking to somebody that's here from Boston. You know, that's I can't imagine driving this far, but, you know.
Oh, I've met people from all over the world.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
Again, like I said, I mean, the Ruvians, the sort of culture. And I remember, you know, whenever it was first starting, you know, the whole jam band thing and how, you know, it started by Panic and all those guys. And it was interesting. It was a bunch of jam band music, but it was all like Mercedes and BMWs. And then you saw the lineup and the ticket price. And you're like, oh, well, those are the people that can drive 9 hours and afford it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so.
Well, when we talked to Ashley Capps, he said that was on purpose. He chose the jam band lineup because those people will come and camp. They'll drive from all over the country. They already do it, you know, to follow Fish and all these other big names.
And so, now they have a place to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's what's so cool, you know, is like those are the guys who built it because you had a lot of those fans that even as they got older with families, they built their entire family vacations around those bands were touring. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, phenomenal. And even the bands in the beginning, you know, that got so many, you know, Jurassic 5 got brought back out. Mm-hmm. And like I said, like just me as a Les Claypool fan to see Les reinvent himself every 2 years just for the stage, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Like, yeah.
What was it, 5 years ago where him and one of Lennon's youngest son, the Claypool.
The Lennon Claypool. Delirium.
Mm-hmm. I said, if Claypool, it doesn't matter, I will rearrange. Well, now with the brewery and having a child, you know, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it changes a little bit. But
I took her out there, and we're going to get back to a place where I'll be able to play around a little bit more.
I mean, it's good to be busy.
It is. Yeah.
Again, we're blessed. That's all I know to say. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been very blessed. Again, we work very hard. Everything from the beer to the experience to the environment. We think a lot and push everything from the independent side.
Mm-hmm.
The majority, 90% of the music here, the artist that's up on stage, they can do 50% of the set with original music when artists come through. You know, so it's like we work really hard to cultivate specific relationships with people looking for specific experiences. And just been very well rewarded for cultivating that environment.
Man, that's awesome. Well,
do you have any artists you're looking forward to seeing this weekend?
Oh, this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, well, like Olivia Rodrigo.
You mentioned Olivia. That's your number one. Well, I guess that's your daughter's number one.
That's my daughter. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And, you know, and there's others on the lineup. Because we're actually opening our second location in Pulaski. And so this whole 2 months.
Right.
It's been back and forth with me.
It's a lot of work.
I thought that I was going to be in Pulaski, and then so I was making arrangements for my daughter to go out. Mm-hmm. So I literally just learned 2 weeks ago that I'm going to be able to take her myself to Rue, you know, but I'm only in that window of 10. And again, mm-hmm. you know, I'm old and I've seen tons of shows. So, and I don't know if y'all got kids or anything, but now with me, it's just about standing back with her and watching her experience it. So it's like, once I knew Olivia Rodrigo was there, that's really all I cared about. I was like, Team Olivia. You know what I'm saying?
I look at you, I think Olivia Rodrigo.
100%.
Yeah, that's the –
100%, you know. Like I said, you know, it's like I wish I'd have dug in more. And I used to be one of those guys, you know, that noticed a little like when Cage the Elephant come in and all that because they were produced in Nashville and they blew up out of there. And Paramore and all those guys, you know, like any time where I know somebody or – Scott Register or those guys whenever I knew them back in the day. And so anytime I used to see those artists up and coming, I really, when I was more in the loop, if you will.
Right.
But I'm really sort of out of the loop and I just sort of more, I'm trying to book, like I'll give you an example. We just booked a band called the Creakers and they're blowing up on TikTok right now.
Okay.
And so like, that's who I'm going after, you know.
Right. Yeah.
We got the Cold Stairs coming through. You know, they got over 300,000 monthly listeners.
Wow.
Sam Groh has over 500,000. So it's like I've been living in this world of going after artists that we can't afford and trying to convince them to play here. And then once I get them through the door, hopefully I can get them addicted to us and then build those relationships.
Yeah, keep them coming.
So
yeah.
That's sort of I live in that world of those guys who are on the cusp.
Yeah.
And so like Whiskey Myers, we tried to get Whiskey Myers.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Whiskey Myers, they had just played at Avondale and we were trying my best to book them right here. And then we couldn't close the deal. But then that year they played Bonnaroo and then they played the Caverns. Then Nolan Taylor, we were in negotiations with Nolan. Mm-hmm. Nolan, right whenever he blew up on West Virginia radio with Oliver Anthony and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And then Nolan ended up playing at, the Railbirds Festival, and then went on to Bonnaroo, and then the Caverns. And so it was funny, again, a great Rue story with somebody. We'd been in negotiations with Nolan, and he had blown up. So, you know, the manager, we were playing email tag back and forth, but there was like 3 weeks in between. Mm-hmm. And so LeBron was like, I'm going to be in the front row when Nolan is on stage. Yeah. So LeBron was in the front row. They had the Common John hats on, and Nolan was standing there. He goes, hey, I guess I've been talking to you guys. Goes, yeah. You have been talking to us. So,
man, that's awesome.
So, you know, again, I wish I knew more about the lineup and paid more attention to it. So, but again, Olivia Rodrigo's there. I don't know if you've heard. So, but really excited
all that matters.
About her.
Yeah.
Really excited about
me
her.
Me too, yeah. Well, I think since you said I can sleep here tonight, I think I'll get another beer.
Well, again, if I was you, I would recommend the Universal Sound, our award-winning double IPA.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And then again, the Nuclear Fusion, that's a hazy, you know, so hazy juicy. Have y'all had that yet?
No.
Yeah, I had it. Yeah, yeah.
You,
okay.
Had that? You had that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I was hoping to pick up some cans of that, too.
Oh, man, yeah. And the people who pour that into a glass, they're ready for a unique experience. That's a fun. Well, you drank it. Yeah. It's a fun one. It's a fun one for multiple senses, I believe. You know?
Yeah, right. Well, and, you know, just to, you mentioned the beer. That's actually going to be on tap in Bonnaroo, right?
100%.
And
yes,
you're
sir.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah. And, again, last year, oh my gosh, the one that we had last year, I don't think that it lasted 3 hours.
That sounds right.
We're trying really hard to get their hands on it.
I got a few cans early just because I wanted some to keep, and I'm glad I did because
I got it on my mantle in my spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and again, you know, if y'all didn't know, we actually won an award through DigiCan for that design.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, yeah. We won first place. And so DigiCan, they were looking at different stuff to submit for the best can design by a digital printing company.
Oh, okay.
And so DigiDesign submitted our can from last year, and it won first place.
Well,
so
that was a great can design. That's
humbling.
Yeah, that's part of why I wanted one to keep, just because the can is so nice. Well, you said awards. Have you ever won a blue ribbon?
I had a blue ribbon cow.
Because I know one brewery that has been gotten a blue ribbon.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, okay.
I see what you did there. You know what? No. We got some medals up on the wall, but I don't think there's any blue ribbons.
No blue ribbons.
I don't think
interesting.
So.
Interesting. Okay.
You know what? We've got to put that on the list.
You got to get
list.
A blue ribbon.
You did say
apparently
you had
so.
Some ways to go.
We have a long way to go. You know, it's so refreshing to be humbled right here on live on
Sorry,
a podcast.
I had to do it. I've got kind of a reputation.
It's kind of his thing.
It's kind of
no,
my
no,
thing.
No, no, no. Hey, you know what? If I was going to be humbled, it would be here tonight with you guys.
Well, I tell you what. This is the Straight and Narrow, which is the, I think it's a lager. It's kind of like a PBR. I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
And, you know, talking about the beer, LeBron being from here,
yeah.
That was a very important thing to him. Us being from a small urban or a small small area, everybody lives off of Miller Lite, Michelob,
you know,
of that nature. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that was really, really crucial when LeBron was creating the beers, if you'll notice, and again, the word gateway has a bad, you know, tone with it. But if you'll notice, it walks you up the gambit.
Right.
From, you know, a light lager to the Vienna, and then we normally have our Mexican lager on there, which is that 4.
Okay.
Then you start to walk on up where it's a little bit more boldness, a little bit more flavor.
So maybe I need to move on up, is what you're saying.
Hey, you sir know blue ribbon award-winning beers, so who am I to tell you what you're going for?
Well, I'm ready to start a journey, so.
I'm here to take you on one, sir.
Absolutely.
Here to take you on.
Thank you. Well, Bull, thank you so much. This has been great.
This has been killer. So sweet. If you're coming through Manchester, Bonnaroo, you got to come to Common
Please,
John.
You got to come to Common John. Please do. So.
Well, and again, thank you guys so much for your support. Thank you guys so much for taking time to get to know and learn more about us. And thank you guys so much for spreading the word. It literally means the world to us to have people that appreciate festivals, music, and independent craft beer. And we only exist because of guys like you. And so thank y'all so much. Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. All right. We're back here at Common John. Actually, I never left. I stayed the night.
And we've been drinking beer here all night.
All night. Yeah. Yeah, but we're here. We got LeBron and Derek with Common John, right?
Yep.
And we're going to talk about this year's beer, the Nuclear Fusion.
Awesome.
Yeah, so this is the second year we've done the collab with Camp Redaroo. I think it started as a Reddit camping group. They're in the group camping at Bonnaroo. Prior to us, last year, they were partnering with Pontoon.
I remember that.
Pontoon closed and then reopened, but they came to us in that intermediary, and we jumped on board doing it. And yeah, kind of cool thing. Last year's was Rainbows and Waterfalls. One of the things we do here at the brewery is we always like to try to incorporate music. So our brewery name, the majority of our beer names are actually song related. So when we talked to them last year, we're like, we got to pick somebody, one of the headliners, and it was Pretty Lights, I guess, does Rainbow.
Pretty Lights,
Waterfalls.
Yes, yeah.
So one of the Camp Red Roo guys came up with the Rainbows and Waterfalls name. Last year's was a peach wheat, trying to go with something pretty light. Interesting fact, Derek, he designed both that label and the one this year. That beer can last year won an international design award.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it.
Yeah, it was a printing. I don't remember what
printing
it was.
Printing on metal products. So that was a pretty cool thing because it was kind of a global award. But yeah, this year we kind of pivoted. We've got one of the headliners this year is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
I haven't seen them yet. They played at the Caverns, I feel like, back a year or two ago.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I haven't seen them either.
I haven't got to see them, but I think they're doing a residency this year. And
three sets.
Three nights.
They brought it up again. I think Mike Stunson was the one that came up with the name, but kicked around some ideas. But one of their songs is Nuclear Fusion, so we're like, that's awesome because it kind of ties in with the whole – you know, psychedelic kind of, you know, out there. You know, we like kind of being kind of cool with our kind of one-off stuff. And we're like, that'll be a perfect name for beer. So then we're like, let's do a hazy, a lighter hazy IPA. And then this year at our brewers conference, we met a company called Abstracts, and they do cannabis-inspired terpenes. So they have different strains of cannabis that they actually do the aroma terpenes. When you drink this beer, if you pour it into a glass, you get a very, very big pop of that dank Pineapple Express kind of aroma. There is no THC or CBD in it, just to say. A lot of people are questioning that, but we promise it is a federally approved. We are not allowed to use THC or CBD in beer. So, yeah, it is federally approved. There's also... It's really cool because if you were to drink it out of the can, you'll get a lot more of the mango and the pineapple versus pouring it in a glass where you'll smell that dankness more out of it. So I recommend people trying it, just drinking it straight out of the can. Normally I'm like, no, you got to pour that into a glass. But this is one that if you want to go to the lighter side and just really taste all the fruit parts of it, try drinking it out of the can.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the design of the can? And
oh, sure. A little disclaimer there. I will say this. If anybody's questioning about the Abstract stuff, please go look them up. All their stuff's clearly listed on there. I went and looked myself even this morning at some other flavors for maybe possible mix-ups. But, Abstracts with an X. And then the other flavor was Sky Farm, which is also one of their products as well, the mango in there. So please go look those up. Very cool stuff. As far as the can, so the direction taken – Mike suggested, he had a vision, he said, and he said, I want to go psychedelic in the style of the King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard look and feel. So obviously there had to be a lizard. Nuclear Fusion, the name, so it had to give off this like radiation feel. He wanted it to be at a dusk. He wanted some tents for like the camping element. He wanted the stage in it. With the crowd roaring, and he wanted to try to incorporate the arch and the Ferris wheel. And then, of course, there's the Radiate Positivity, which is an alien. So, I mean, I feel like we got just about all of it in there.
I
think you nailed it. Everything is on there. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got to pull the mic up to my mouth. It's pretty cool to look at the can and all the detail. You know, even one of the things that we do, and you'll catch us because we like to hang out at Bonnaroo's, we've got a...
Totem
with Common John head on it, but you can actually see in the crowd
somebody
holding the totem with the Common John head. This is definitely one of those kind of things I highly suggest you grabbing it and keeping it because we won't be doing this again. It's a completely a one-off that we do every year. And the cans have been, I think they've kind of, even since the pontoon days, have kind of been a collector's deal for a lot of people.
I know we try to get one every year and at least just hold on to it. And so I've got a few from previous years, and I picked up some last night. So
we know you guys are legit Bonnaroo people when it says Happy Roo on the top, because that's something you can't fake that.
That's right,
absolutely.
And it had it on there last year, if I'm not mistaken, too. So now you have a little bit of a theme going.
Yeah, that's going to have to be a mainstay, I think. Because I mean, that's the first thing you see when you look at the can. It's like, oh, it's popping out. Happy Roo. There you go.
Yeah, it's right there at the top. You can't mistake it for any other beer. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, also, we part of this is pretty cool for us is actually being able to use the Bonnaroo elements, you know, the Bonnaroo name and logos and stuff.
Right.
We got approval last year.
You got
but
permission, right?
Yeah, so that's partly through, you know, everything that Camp Redaroo does is sanctioned through Bonnaroo. They've got the 10:30 slot on Friday for the craft beer exchange is on the schedule.
We'll be there.
Another thing we do is part of we've got to figure out the timing, but this year will be part of what we do is donate part of the profit back to the Bonnaroo Works Fund, which does a lot of stuff in Manchester, Coffee County, and surrounding areas as far as charitable work. So I think we're going to be, after looking at about $2,500, is it will be donating to the Bonnaroo Works. So it's a good thing for us from a standpoint of kind of getting our name out there. But we try to give back every time we can. We throw fundraisers here all the time. So we just thought it was a perfect thing to do. Is by them allowing us to do this and put their name on our can helps us. So why not help them in return?
Yeah. What a great partnership. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do we understand that you guys are going to have beer in the brewer's tent? We heard that you have to go right after this, go run and drop it off.
Yeah, you drop it off, right?
So we don't, you know, most of the big stuff is kind of controlled with the bigger beer companies. They do have a craft beer tent. I'm not for sure what they've called it. Brewer's Pub. Yeah, it was different things.
Different names.
But it's off to the right-hand side of which stage? I forget there's another stage over there.
There's the Infinity over there now.
Yeah, that's the new one.
Yeah. So they'll be pouring both the Nuclear Fusion and our Heathen Child Vienna Lager. So it's kind of it's an amber lager, pretty easy drinking, 5.5%, 5.6% to be exact. but really good, you know, not your just flavorless light beer. It's got good flavor. That's just one of our most popular beers that we have. And then also at I'm not for sure exactly where, but throughout Centeroo, they'll be, I think they call them their premium booths, they'll be selling Heathen Child in cans as well. And then at the Craft Beer Exchange, we'll be giving away some cans. They've cut it back this year to an hour, but I think we ran out in 10 minutes last year. So
I got there 30 minutes late, and they were all gone. I was like, you're kidding me.
So we're going to be, if you come over for the Craft Beer Exchange, I don't know if this gets out there before then on Friday, but
it might not. I don't know. We'll see how the week
but,
goes.
We'll bring a keg over, too, to be pouring samples and stuff while we're there.
I'll be camped right over there. Well, we got to thank you guys for being so accommodating.
Thank you so much.
I don't think I can name another brewery that's open at 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday for breakfast. So,
well, we're usually closed Monday and Tuesday, but with since last year before they started letting people in earlier, so we're like we need to be open because it gives people a place to come. Just like today, a couple of customers I talked to were like, we're waiting to go in. They've delayed us going in because of the rain. So we're looking for somewhere to hang out. And it's like, that's exactly what we did. Even after that, though, even though we're closed Monday and Tuesday, we're open Wednesday through Saturday at 8 a.m. and 10 on Sunday for breakfast. So
yeah, I woke up, came in, and had a sausage biscuit for breakfast. It was great.
He lives here now, by the way.
I'm not going home.
You better be careful. We'll be putting him to work.
Uh-oh. Well, thank you so much. We love the beer, and thanks for having us here and talking to us about it. So,
cheers, guys. Happy Roo.
Yeah.
Happy Roo. Well,
cheers. Yeah.
All right. That's a lot of fun. Again, that was done before Bonnaroo was canceled. That was done the week of.
It was before Bonnaroo even started.
Even started. Just wanted to. Basically, when you guys are seeing this, we're trying to catch up with any news, all the news, whatever. We're also trying to give you whatever content that we recorded during the event. So if something happens, maybe we'll jump in and update it. But that's what we have so far. We don't know anything more than what you guys, and when we do, we will share it with you.
Sounds good. Yeah. And I highly recommend you go check out Common John if you're in Manchester for Bonnaroo or any other time of the year. Great brewery, great restaurant.